Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here, even though it's raining outside. It's still a beautiful morning, and glad to be here. I enjoyed the devotional this morning, and today is a good groundwork for what I wanted to share this morning or preach this morning. The goal of the Christian is to do the will of God. We're going to look at that a little bit more this morning. I also enjoyed the Sunday school discussion. It does make me a little bit vulnerable to sit in a Sunday school class where discuss what the preacher should do, shouldn't do, and then to get up and preach. So I appreciate your prayers this morning. I do want to bless you all as a congregation for your attentiveness and for your encouragement. It does mean a lot. Many of you will offer encouragement at the end of a service. Some maybe in a little different way. How about it, Mr. Clapper? You keep us encouraged too, don't you? Maybe in a little different way.
I try to keep the thing moving in the right direction.
You encourage us. Open your Bibles to the book of James this morning for a message. James chapter 1. And while you turn there, I want to ask you a question. Do you have joy this morning? Are you happy? I see some smiling faces. Joy means a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And I realize that sometimes we're at different places in our life experiences. Some of us may be at a place in life where it feels like everything is going just pretty well. And others may be at a place where they're facing difficult circumstances in life. And this morning, the goal of the message is just to remind us that followers of Christ, our joy is not contingent upon life going and following our script. In fact, James would tell us that joy can be found when things are not going according to our plan. Let's read James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So here in verse 2, James says that we're to have joy even when we face difficult situations. It's pretty hard to do that sometimes, isn't it? We want the easy way, the way that requires little effort from me. Moses mentioned this in his devotional. And we have verse 3, our faith is sometimes tested. And it's in those tests that we can grow in our spiritual life. When we, through the power of the Holy Spirit, allow these tests to help us to grow. Because they can discourage us. When something comes our way that's discouraging, we can just go down into this mire of self-pity and become very discouraged. But James is teaching us here we need to allow these things to bring us closer to God. Verse 4, let patience have her perfect work. The Strong's definition for the word patience is cheerful endurance. When you think of endurance, when I think of endurance, I think of work. I think of effort. And James teaches here that we need to have cheerful endurance. Well, how can we have this joy when we're in tribulation that James is talking about? We're in the middle of a difficult situation. How can we have this joy? And children, I thought about the song that we sing sometimes, J-O-Y. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. This morning I'd like to use that for a very simple title. This morning I'm just going to write it up on the board. J, Jesus first. O, ourselves last, and others in between. That's how we find this joy. When we put Jesus first, when we ask him, what do you want from my life? I want your will to be done in my life, whatever it is. Moses taught us the goal of the Christian is to do the will of God. When we put others after Christ, My life is not about me, it's about others and their needs and myself last. When I put myself at the back of the line, at the bottom of the list, and this is so hard for us to do sometimes, isn't it? It goes completely counter to our flesh. We want to put ourselves to the front. Our tendency is to look out for number one. The world tells us you have to look out for number one. You have to, if you want to succeed, you have to look out for number one. No one else is going to look out for you. You have to look out for yourself. This morning, I want to look at a man who found himself in a very miserable situation because he got this little acronym completely backwards. He put himself first, and then others, and then what God wanted from his life. We're going to look at the life of Jonah this morning. You can turn there. It's a little bit harder, maybe, book to find. It's after Obadiah. It's in the Minor Prophets. It's right before Micah. It's between Obadiah and Micah. We're not going to read the whole story of Jonah here. It'd be an interesting story to read, but we know it well. So I'm going to look at verse 1 through 3. We're going to read verse 1 through 3. And we're just going to look at some things in Jonah's life that robbed him of his joy. Most Bible characters, we have at least a little bit of context for the book. But here, Jonah, we just have this one story, this one excerpt out of his life. We don't know much about his life. Basically, it's just this one major event. But we can learn a lot from this one event in Jonah's life. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Has God ever brought anything into your, or something into your life that you just ask, God, how can you be asking this of me? You know that I never wanted to do this, but now you're asking me to do it. I think that's how Jonah felt here. Jonah probably thought, God, you can ask me to do anything except go to Nineveh. Anything except this. This is just too much. Go to Nineveh. There's just no way I can go there. That place is terrible. Now turn over to Nahum. I want to read a little bit about the city of Nineveh. Just one book over, Nahum 1, verse 1. This is a letter or a prophecy of Nahum to Nineveh. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. That's verse 1. Now, let's look at the first three verses of chapter 3 of the book of Nahum. Woe to this bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. They pray, the prey departeth not. This is Nahum chapter 3, verse 1. The noise of the whip and the noise of the rattling of wheels and the prancing of horses and the jumping of chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. There is a multitude of slain and great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. That's where God asked Jonah to go to that city. Doesn't sound like a place you'd want to go. Much less go there and preach about God's judgment and call them to repentance. But that's what God asked Jonah to do here. Nineveh is also a very big city. Some historians think it could have been one of the largest cities at that time. And we'll see later in Jonah chapter 3, verse 3, it says the city was a 3 days journey. I don't know exactly what that means, whether it took 3 days to walk across it or 3 days to walk around it. But either way you read it, Nineveh was a large city. It was also the enemy of Jonah's homeland. So maybe we can just sympathize a little bit with Jonah here. When God comes to him and asks him to go to Nineveh, we can see why he looked for an alternate route, an alternate option. And children, we know what Jonah did. When he came right down to the situation, he ran the other direction. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship that was going to Tarshish, away from the fierce city that had the dead bodies laying in the streets that they were tripping over, and away from the work that God had for him to do. Tarshish was, at that time, known as the end of the earth. I don't know if Jonah had any business in Tarshish or had any reason to go there, but I think it was away from where he was supposed to go. It was away from Nineveh, and that's all that mattered to Jonah at this point. And sometimes we feel like doing the same thing, don't we? When God asks us to do something that we don't want to do, we just want to go as far away from that as we possibly can. But the rest of the chapter 1 here records what happened when Jonah tried to run. When Jonah put himself first, his plans, his ideas. Children, we know how it worked out for Jonah to disobey God. Didn't work out very well, did it? When he got on that boat and the storm came up and the wind was blowing and they couldn't make it back to shore. And the men were crying out for their lives. They're crying out to their gods. And they had to go down and wake up Jonah down there in the bottom of the boat. They brought him up and asked him, why has this happened to us? It says here that he had told them before that he was running from God. And when this storm came up, they said, why did you do this to us? What can we do to make the storm go away? And we know that they threw Jonah into the water. But God prepared a big fish. God gave Jonah a second chance here. God prepared a big fish, and he swallowed Jonah and saved his life. And I don't know what kind of communication God and Jonah had. We have a little bit of it recorded in chapter 2. But it says, Jonah prayed to God in the beginning of chapter 2 and reasoned with God, and God gave him a second chance. The whale spit him up onto the dry land. Verse 9 of chapter 2. This is what Jonah promises God. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I believe Jonah told God, I'll do what you want me to do. Let's read the first verse, three verses of chapter 3. Of Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach it, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. So this time Jonah obeyed. He went and did what God wanted him to do. And the results were incredible. It says, from the least to the greatest, they repented. Even the king, the king of this wicked city, he got off his throne and put on sackcloth and repented of the evil. And he proclaimed a fast for 3 days. The animals, no one was supposed to eat or drink for 3 days, to show they were serious about being sorry for their sin and their repentance. I don't know what kind of results Jonah was hoping for when he preached destruction. But things did not happen the way he thought they were going to happen. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. When the people repented and they turned to God, verse 1 says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and a merciful, slow to anger and of great mercy, great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Verse 3 of chapter 4. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon his head, and Jonah, the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And shall I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? So here we have Jonah in a very bad mood. He wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. That was his plan. He wanted to see the enemy of his homeland destroyed. He had preached judgment, and here the people had repented, and the city was not destroyed. He was very frustrated with that. After all that Jonah had been through to get to this point, and he had preached judgment, and the people had turned to God, we can see where his heart was the whole time. His life was still about Jonah. It was still about what he wanted from life, and he wasn't getting it. And he was frustrated with God, and he was frustrated with life. He was still putting himself first. Have you found yourself in a situation like Jonah? You're just frustrated with how things are going. Is it robbing you of your joy? I'd like to look at 3 points this morning, just simple points, on finding joy in life. How we can find joy in life. And I could just read the acronym again and sit down. Jesus first, ourselves last, and others in between. But the first point I'd like to look at in finding joy is complete surrender. Obedience and surrender, they're not the same. Even though Jonah obeyed, the second time he did go to Nineveh, but he did not surrender. He just obeyed. Surrender means to yield power, control, or possession of another. I'm sorry, let me read that again. Surrender means to yield power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand. Surrender means just give up. Surrender doesn't seem like something that would bring joy, does it? But it's the only way that true joy can be found, when we give up of ourselves and surrender to God. Joy is found when we completely surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ and ask Him to be Lord of our life. We can go through life without surrender, taking our own way, but we're not going to have joy. It doesn't give us true joy to take our own way. It's when we surrender that we find joy. We've been studying about Paul in our Sunday school lesson. What an example of complete surrender. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Just read the story there of him on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 9. We know he was headed for Damascus to bind more Christians and take them to prison. Verse 4 says, let's start in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Saul was at the end of himself right there. This light struck him down. and it blinded him. And Paul says, Lord, what do you want? What do you want from me? I'm willing to do it. Not all of us have been struck down with a light from heaven, but I think all of us that have accepted Christ as our Savior have to come to this point. Lord, what do you want from my life? I'm willing to serve you with everything that I have. I'm willing to surrender my life to you, and I'll do what you want me to do. But we know surrender is not just a one-time event in our life, is it? Paul surrendered there along the road to Damascus, but later on he said, I die daily. It takes daily surrender, giving up of ourselves and surrendering to Christ and to God and what he wants from my life. Number two, joy is found in sacrifice of self. Sort of follows the point I just made. Sacrifice of self. We find this in the life of Jonah. At the end of the day, Jonah was very frustrated because he didn't get out of life what he wanted. His goals, his comforts came first. And when he didn't get it, he was miserable. And the world is filled with things to help us find joy in life. If you have this thing or that thing, you'll be happy. This convenience, this gadget, you'll be happy. But it ends up leaving us empty. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I read this in my personal reading a few days ago. The story of what Solomon wrote here about things and happiness and serving self. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I think we'll just read the first 11 verses here. Joy is found in sacrifice of self. This is what Solomon had to say. I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth the trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. I also had great possessions and of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasures of kings and of provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Here Solomon got all these things for himself. All these things that are listed here, verse 1 to 3, he set out to find what would make him happy. There had to be something out there that he just hadn't experienced yet that would bring him joy. In verse 4 to 6, he built houses, big houses, ornate houses. But that didn't make him happy. He built vineyards and orchards. He built water gardens. He built all of these things to make himself happy. Verse 7, he had people doing all of his work. He had servants, men servants, maid servants. He had all the things he could want. In verse 8, he had silver. He had gold. He had entertainment. Verse 9 tells us he was the most physically successful person who had lived. He had everything he could possibly want at his fingertips. Yet in verse 11, he said, all these things that I have gotten for myself did not produce joy that he was looking for. It was all vanity. Vanity means empty and unsatisfying. And that's how Solomon found all of these things. When we're trying to get more and more things for ourselves, that's how we're going to come to the same point. Solomon tried to tell us it's all just empty. Serving self will never produce the joy that it seems like at first. The things that we think are going to make us happy, they end up leaving us empty. We're trying to serve ourselves. What Jesus said in Luke 9:23, and he said of them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Joy is found in sacrifice. Sacrificing my wants. Joy is found in giving up of ourselves. Selfishness is such a thief of joy. Selfishness destroys the relationships around us. When it's just all about me, I end up by myself. Number three, joy is found in service to others. When we have our mind on our own self and our own problems, it's easy for us to become discouraged and down. But when we look on the needs of others and look for opportunities to serve, we find joy and fulfillment. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." We look out for each other. That's when we find joy and fulfillment. When we look around to those who are needy around us. Verse 3, if we all esteem or think highly of everyone else, if everyone is looked up to, then no one is looked down on. Verse 4, when we look for the needs of others, look out for the needs of others. We live in a very broken world, and there's many, many needs around us. Often when we notice the needs around us, our needs seem pretty small. You know, we may be facing a difficult situation, but, you know, when you think about the people in Russia or Ukraine, or we think outside of ourselves, doesn't it make the problem that we're facing seem pretty small and insignificant? When we think about other people, if we're feeling down and discouraged, we feel like we don't have the joy, maybe we need to look for a way to serve someone else. And sometimes that service is a small thing. Maybe it's just changing another diaper, or maybe it's just making another meal. 15 minutes later, it's eaten. People are leaving the table. But it's service. It's service to other people. Maybe it's as simple as giving someone a drink of water. Drink of cold water. Just small ways that we can serve other people. Maybe it's holding the door for someone when they've got a child in their hands. It's just simple ways of living out that I'm not just thinking about myself. I'm thinking about others. Sometimes we wish we could do something really great for someone. But sometimes it's just as simple as listening to their need, listening to their problem. Help bear their burden. It's a way we can find joy in our own lives. A lot of joy is just found in simple service to others. I thought about this as we were at ministers' meeting and conference 2 weeks ago. I'm blessed by older, faithful men that just year after year just serve the church. Smile on their face, just continually do that. I'm just blessed by that. And that's the type of person I want to be, just in service to others. That's where joy is found. Jonah ended up very miserable because he was serving himself. Our flesh takes crucifixion. It's not natural for us to just want to serve other people. We want to serve ourselves. But it takes the Holy Spirit to help us to crucify our flesh and to see past ourselves and look out for the needs of others. So this morning, I'm going to ask the question again here in closing. Do you have joy? Do I have joy? I just want to think back over our 3 points and ask them as a question. Am I completely surrendered to God, and is Jesus Lord of my life? That's where true joy is found. When I'm surrendered, God, what do you want from my life? I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to follow wherever you call me. Number two, am I living for self and trying to get everything I can get out of life for me? Does the world revolve around me? It's so easy for me to fall in this trap. You know, we've been at work, us men, we've been at work all day, come home from work. We expect supper to be ready. We expect the house to be cleaned up. We expect all these things. Is that what life is about? Or is it about me? Number three, am I looking for ways to be of service to my fellow man? If I want to be happy this morning, those are 3 requirements that I'm going to have to do. Look for ways to be of service to my fellow men. As we go this week and we face the challenges of life, my prayer is that we can find joy in the middle of those difficulty, those things that we face, that we can find joy in serving God and serving others. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you again this morning. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to worship together this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word, and thank you that we have the privilege of reading it in our own language and understand it. Lord, I just pray that you would bless us as we go this week, Lord. We're needy people, and Lord, help us to be willing to surrender our lives to you. Lord, help us to put the needs of others first, and help us to put ourselves last. Lord, you were the perfect, your son Jesus was the perfect example in giving up so that others could live. And I pray that we would just follow that example in our life this week. Lord, help us to find joy in the middle of the difficult situations that we face. Lord, I just pray that you would meet the needs of each person here. We're all facing difficult things, and I just pray that you would help us to